You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire. I
don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
Next, a new book on submarine cables explores their influence on the world, both through communication flows, economic forces, and environmental impact. In The Cloud Beneath the Sea, maritime lawyer Douglas Burnett examines all this within an international legal framework. Reporter Max Smith has more.
Ahead of a two-week United Nations meeting on the laws of the sea, Douglas Burnett has co-authored a book on one of the topics which will be debated there, but perhaps not widely understood, the laws of undersea cables. Burnett says most people don't understand just how much undersea cables affect their everyday lives from the sea floor.
These cables are essentially connecting all the countries of the world. For example, New Zealand, you've probably got four cables, Australia, six, and that provides all of your international communications. Now, what you're seeing is that the major content providers, such as Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Facebook, have established different server farms in different countries, and of course, when we say the cloud, all of the applications are in there. But what has been going on now for several years especially is that all of these servers are now connected by submarine fiber optic cables, because these garden hose diameter fiber optic cables are the only way that the data can be transmitted with the accuracy, precision, and volume that's required. So basically, the cloud, this group of applications, listing and software, are all connected around the world through these fiber optic submarine cables.
But these cables don't just control communication flows. They also maintain the flow of money in and out of countries, meaning our reliance on them is huge.
Any transaction in the world that's in dollars has to go through the bank that the U.S. has in New York, and it gets there via these fiber optic cables. So these cables really make the transmission of all economic data possible. And, you know, where you've seen situations where islands have been cut off from by their cables or something, really everything grinds to a halt because nobody can operate an ATM, aircraft can't communicate. You know, whole commerce is tied to these fiber optic cables. So that's why the UN and other groups that study it call these cables, you know, critical international infrastructure.
However critical these cables are, though, there's still concerns around where they sit legally, and that's where things get complex.
The first international law of the sea treaty was the 1884 International Convention for Protection of Submarine Cables. And that's really the bedrock of all of the submarine cables. And that was essentially the core elements that were taken and have found their way into the United Nations Law of the Sea Convention, which is considered the Constitution of the Oceans and probably or arguably one of the most successful treaties anywhere, with about 166 countries that are party. But out of the 350 or so articles, 10 of them deal with cables, and they provide for the freedom of all nations to lay and maintain submarine cables, both in territorial sea, the exclusive economic zone, on the continental shelf, and on the high seas. And it's this basically freedom to lay cables that allows these fiber optic cables to be laid all over the world. Now, recently, in the last especially 20 years or so, there's been, you know, justifiable concern about whether man's influence in the oceans is causing a lot of degradation, marine pollution, etc.
But although all these concerns are growing, Burnett says submarine cables are actually almost entirely benign to sea life.
They've been studied a lot because they've been around in one form or another since 1850, and certainly fiber optic cables since 1988, when the first one was laid off of Spain. And basically the cables, you know, they're inert in the ocean, and in the high seas they're just laid across the bottom. They're not buried or anything, so there's no disturbance. And, you know, you're talking about a very small footprint. So in the case of the United States, we probably have around 48 of these cables connecting the United States to the rest of the world. But, you know, that's 48 if you think of it as garden hose or beer cap bottle diameter cables, which is a pretty tiny footprint. And since in the high seas they're laid, they don't even bury them, they just don't have much or any environmental impact.
The UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, including its bearing on submarine cables, is being debated until next week in New York. For BFM News, Cormac Smith, tēnā.
They are nicking our shit. They totally are. The Wire.
That report there from Max Smith, and Douglas Burnett's book is International Submarine Cables and Biodiversity Beyond National Jurisdiction, The Cloud Beneath the Sea.